You know, I would imagine that every one of us at some time or another in our life have been homesick. I think I remember as a kid going to junior camp being homesick. And later when I was drafted into the service, I remember being homesick. But are we really homesick from the place, or is it the people? Without a doubt, it's both, but I mean, for the most part, it's really we're homesick for who we love. And so I ask you today, how can you be homesick for a place you've never seen? Or homesick for someone you've never seen? I think we've heard him, and we have a pictorial picture that we receive from reading his word to know what he must look like, not physically, but spiritually. And the closer we come to Jesus, the more homesick we will be. So how do you develop that? How do you define that? And I boil it down to a relationship, and for most of you that comes as no surprise. I can't get up here without touching on the importance of a relationship with Jesus. And so how do we develop that relationship? How do we strengthen that so we can draw closer to Jesus? Well, again, I've got to point out the three-legged stool that Lee Vinden made very clear, and I love that picture of that because it's so true. A three-legged stool will not stand on its own. It will if it has three legs, but I mean, it won't stand there if you take one of those legs away, is what I mean to say. And those three legs stand for one thing that is in that relationship that we have with the Lord, and the first one is prayer. Well, that makes sense. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you're not ever speaking to him or her. That's the way it is on a horizontal level of our relationships with one another. We also need to spend time. And time with prayer or with the Lord, and time with, you know, sitting down and talking with somebody, is it all makes sense. And then the other thing is Bible study. Now, Bible study is so important. By the way, as I pointed out earlier, all three of these that are mentioned are equally important, because the stool will not stand without one of them missing. I mean, it's... And the third, well, and I'm going to clarify this on the Bible study. The Bible study is a study of the Bible to really get to understand Jesus. Because you can find Jesus throughout the entire Bible. Even though the word Jesus is not found in the Old Testament, you find him there. And then the last one is sharing. And to me, the sharing one, it's equally as important, but it's important in a way that helps us grow beyond where we would be if we just had the prayer and the Bible study. If we kind of become stagnant, we kind of become ineffective, and we can become stagnant. Maybe a good way to explain that would be water that doesn't flow becomes stagnant. They say that the water flowing into the Dead Sea doesn't flow out, and that's why it's the Dead Sea. There's nothing that grows there. Our lives fail to continue to grow in him when we don't let that, what he gives us, flow out to others. Well, what can we do to strengthen our Bible study? Well, let me share with you one in particular. I had two, but I'm going to share just the one today. I see it. I'm not going to have a whole lot of time. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the 17th chapter of John. Now, if I get this little device out of my pocket and operate it, if you don't have your Bibles here, you can read it off the screen. And I'm thinking maybe I have to turn it on first. That helps. Okay, here it is on the screen. And this is starting at verse, I believe, 19 or 20, chapter 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, their word was the disciples' word. Jesus in his prayer, the whole chapter 17 is his prayer. The first five verses, Jesus is seen praying to his Father for himself. And then from 6 through 19, Jesus is praying for his disciples. His disciples that he had with him there, in particular, the 12. And then from 20 on, he was praying for you and he was praying for me. And this is why this particular part of the chapter is so important to me. Because he says he's not just praying for those disciples there, he's praying for the disciples in the future, for you and I. And it goes on, he goes on to say that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, this depicts perfectly the relationship that we can have with Jesus. He is drawing a picture of his relationship with the Father. And he's praying that that relationship that he and the Father had, that you and I could have with him. And then that last line there is the reason why he wants us to have that close relationship, is that the world may believe in Jesus. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Now, I'm going to ask you to reread it again with me. But there's going to be a change now. And I'm going to put the change up on the screen. And the change is something that I want you to do, if you will, in your own Bibles. I don't know. So I've talked to some people and said, I don't like to mark up my Bible. I get that. I think the Lord likes for us to mark up the Bible, because when we mark it, we're putting a piece of us in the Word. And what I mean is, when you highlight something in your Bible, for one thing, it's easier to find again. And it just makes it personal. And we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, amen? So what I'm going to ask you to do, I've done it in my Bible, is to take a pencil. Now, you don't have to do it today. You can do it this afternoon when you got more time. I'm going to show you where you can write your own name in this Bible and make this even more personal. Now, as I read it, you're going to see places where it says your name. I want you to say your name to yourself. You don't have to be out loud. Unless you do want to say it out loud, you will. But I'm going to use my name in there to demonstrate how personal it makes it sound. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that Kelly may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that Kelly also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given Kelly, that Kelly may be one, just as we are one, I in Kelly, and you in me, that Kelly may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved Kelly as you have loved me. See how personal that makes it sound? See, when you put your name in there, see how personal? Just write it in. And then, from time to time, open that up and read it. Because it's Jesus' prayer. He's praying for you, and now it's you personally that he's praying for. As you develop your relationship with Jesus, you will develop a desire, a longing for heavenly things. You know, if we're going to be homesick for heaven, we got to be thinking of our heavenly home, amen? Bear in mind that our life in this world is but a pilgrimage, and that heaven is the home to which we are going. You've heard, this place is not our home, we're just a passing through. It's a song, right? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Friends, no matter how glorious you can imagine what heaven is like, it's going to be far, far greater, far grander than anything we could come up with. And I encourage you to try to do that, because then you can remind yourself, well, it's going to be a lot better than that. And I say that because it's so easy to get wrapped up in this world, to be living for the things that we get involved in every day. We have things to do, yes. Another thing that helps is the things that we do have the mindset of doing it unto Jesus, unto our Lord and Savior. No matter what it is, if you're doing it with that in mind, again, our mind is not here, it's there. You know, if we look around this world, we can see how close we must see the wickedness that's going on. And I'm not even going to get into the politics part of it, but you all know, but things are crazy out there. You know, time is short, but we have something to do with that time. Use well the remnant of time now left you. Have you that stronghold of God, that consecration of his service, that your religion will not fail you in the face of direst persecution? The deep love of God alone will sustain the souls amid the trials which are just upon us. They're just coming. And friends, we are not to focus on the trials. We're to focus on Jesus, who gets us through that. There's a poster out that says, don't focus on the storm, focus on some of you have heard it, I'm sure, but it skipped my mind. In the testimonies, there's a quote that I want to share with you. It says, I have seen an angel standing with scales in his hands, weighing the thoughts and interests of the people of God, especially the young. In one scale were the thoughts and interests tending heavenward. In the other were the thoughts and interests tending to earth. And in the scale were thrown all the reading and the storybooks, thoughts of dress and show, vanity, pride, etc. Wow. If she was alive today, what she would add to that. Television, the things on television that people are caught up in. Computers that are, televisions and computers, there's nothing wrong with them. But what are we watching on them? Oh, at people's fingertips. I was going to say at kids' fingertips, but it's every one of us fingertips that can come up on the internet is Yeah. I don't even need to make that list. Put that list on here too, friends. Look at the time that people spend on playing computer games, to say nothing of what they're emulating on that game, shooting and killing one another. Oh, no wonder we have so many mass murders today. Another one by an angel, solemn words were these, spoken by the angel. I asked the angel why so few were interested in their eternal welfare, so few preparing for their last change. Said he, earth attracts them. Its treasures seem of worth to them. They find enough to engross the mind and have no time to prepare for heaven. Satan is ever ready to plunge them deeper and deeper into the difficulty. As soon as one perplexity and trouble is off the mind, he begets within them an unholy desire for more of the things of earth. And thus, their time passes, and when it is too late, they see that they have gained nothing substantial. They have grasped at the shadows and lost eternal life. Such will have no excuse. Friends, it's time to start filling our hearts and lives with our new home, with eternal realities in view. We will habitually cultivate thoughts of the presence of God. This will be a shield against the incoming of the enemy. It will give strength and assurance and lift the soul above fear. Breathing in the atmosphere of heaven, we will not be breathing in the malaria of this world. You know, that's what we need to be filling our minds with, is the love of Jesus, the things that he has in store for us. You know, another way to look ahead and plan on being there is to make appointments with Jesus, or a date, or some one-on-one time. Now, if you said in my class before, you've heard me mention this, like to share it with all of you. But I encourage you to do just that. Maybe sometime you're reading the Bible and a question comes to you, and it, you know, in life itself, it, something that could pop up and you just, well, I wonder what the answer to that is. You know that God has the answer. And you can just ask him, hey, someday, remind me of this, and tell me what really happened here, or what is the answer to this? Here's a for instance. Have you ever, when reading God's word, in particular, that time after he rose from the dead until the time he ascended, some 40 days, the Bible doesn't speak a lot about those 40 days. Are you curious where he went? I am. So I've made an appointment with him someday, you know. You know, maybe he'll have my angel tell me, but, you know, whatever. I do believe. And sometimes I'll tell him, you know, Jesus, I don't care if it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years from now. I just want some one-on-one time with you. You know, and I don't know about you. I've thought about that first day in heaven when you look at all the sea of people, and there's a line to give Jesus a hug. And I don't know how many miles long it is. I know I but I know Jesus has a better way to solve that dilemma. Probably our guardian angels. Yes, I used the plural word there. I don't know how some of us could have just one. By the way, we're told, or at least I've heard a pastor say that when they came to the tomb, they saw two angels. Those were Jesus' guardian angels. Now, if he has two, We must have two too, because he has no advantage over us. So, and when the when he ascended, the two angels that were left, his guardian angels. So anyway, just something to think about. Again, something we can ask Jesus when we're in heaven. Amen. So start making those appointments with him. That's a way we can more personalize our relationship with him. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Now, how important is it to develop this relationship with Jesus? Oh. You know, the devil is going to remind us from time to time, oh, that sin wasn't forgiven. Oh, that, oh, you know, we can just remind him of 1 John 1:9. Because if we confess our sins, our Lord and Savior, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much righteousness? Unrighteousness? From all unrighteousness. And he gives us his righteousness. Oh, friends, we all want his righteousness standing in our place on Judgment Day. Only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusions that take the world captive. Wow. Only, when you see the word only, boy, let that grab you. Only those who have been diligent students, there's one, diligent students of the scriptures, and have received the love of the truth. What is the love of the truth? When Jesus was here, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, we need to develop a love for Jesus. We need to develop a love for his truth. And then we will find ourselves homesick for heaven. Well, you know, the enemy has many ways to get us to stumble, to cause havoc in our lives, to cause disunity. Unity is important. Unity is what the early church had when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Those who are truly converted will press together in Christian unity. Let there be no division in the church of God. No unwise authority exercised over those who accept the truth. The meekness of Christ is to appear in all that is said and done. When the Spirit of God shall work upon the heart, cleansing the soul temple of its defilement of worldliness and pleasure loving, all will be seen in the prayer meeting, faithful to do their duty and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefit they can gain. The faithful worker for the master will improve every opportunity to place himself directly under the rays of light from the throne of God, and this light will be reflected upon others. That's from Testimonies for Christ, Volume 4. Now, I'm going to read another quote from Sister White, and it's from Steps to Christ. Might be a little more familiar, but it uses all of the same wording. And then I'll just underline a couple of things. Make every effort to keep open the communion between Jesus and your soul. Seek every opportunity to go where prayer is wont to be made. Those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting, faithful to do their duty, and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can. They will improve every opportunity by placing themselves where they can receive the lights of the rays of light from heaven. You know, friends, time is so short. We do need to be taking every opportunity we can to spend time with him. Prayer meeting is one of those places. If you haven't been coming, oh, I want to invite you. I want to personally invite you to come. And you can ask any of those that are going, they're receiving, we're all receiving a rich blessing. The Holy Spirit is being poured out, friends. Friends, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all who profess his name, bearing fruit to his glory. How quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly, the last great harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. Clearing the way for the latter rain. What did the early church do to clear the way for the latter rain? They became united together. They came together. They stayed together in that upper room praying. And do you see the importance of a midweek service like prayer meeting? You know, when I don't even know if I should say this, but when I first came to this church almost 20 years ago, I went to a prayer meeting just a few times. I didn't go every week. There was probably a half a dozen people in prayer meeting, and they met in the fireside. And, you know, it was, I don't know, I'm just saying that it's not the same today. The Holy Spirit is doing a work. Praise God. And if you want to be in that outpouring of his Spirit, come. I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, selfishness, love of the world. Oh boy, there's a lot included in that, huh? Over every wrong word and action. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. You know, the 10 virgins, to look upon them, you could not see any difference. They all were anxiously anticipating the coming of the Lord. They were waiting together. They fell asleep together. And when they woke, when they heard the coming of the bride, and the groom, I mean, the bride, the virgins wake up, and what was the difference? The five foolish didn't have any oil in their lamps. They had burnt out. The oil represents the Holy Spirit, friends. How often are you filling your vessel with the Holy Spirit? It's not just enough to have a head knowledge of who God is, of who Christ is and what he did for us. That's not enough. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us in a relationship. And a relationship requires time daily. He gives us each 24 hours. We tithe the money that he blesses us with, 10%. If we were to tithe the time, what would that be? Almost 2.5 hours. Am I doing the math right? Really, the Lord wants to spend all day with you. He does. And you know how I know that? He came to die for you and I so that we could not just live again, but live with him through eternity. Let that sink in. I mean, I know we know it, but let it sink into your heart. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. I would also add to that how he has led those that we read about in the Bible, how he has delivered them. He did it for them. He will do it for us. Those stories are there to strengthen our hearts, our beliefs. Now, I want to ask you to make a commitment today. You know, I'm sure many of you are already there. And so it's just a recommitment. What I want you to do is promise to the Lord that you will give him quality time each day. And you know, Jesus has asked for the first fruits of our crops, the first of our income, the first. He wants the first of everything. Give him the first part of your day. There's a blessing in that. When we give him the first part of our day, we get to be with him more personally all through the day. So what I'm asking for the commitment is that time. And when we do that, there's one thing that gets in the way of that time. Anybody guess what it is? Self. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was really saying, die to self and then be reborn again. Friends, it's a daily thing. Recommit your life to Jesus in the morning every day and ask him, what would you have me do today? Now, if you're willing to do that, would you stand just now? If you're willing to make that commitment? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, as we sing this closing song, I Surrender All, we're sealing that commitment on our end. Amen. Join in, let's sing our closing song.
I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Jesus, I surrender. surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender.
Father in heaven, you have heard our commitment. You've seen it by us standing, and you've heard it in song. Oh Lord, help us now to live towards our commitment to you daily. Father, we know that the enemy is going to shoot at us, but we know that you're stronger, and we're asking right here, right now, corporately, be there with us when it's tough. Help us to turn to you. Remind us of our commitment. Oh, Lord, we know that the time is short. We want to go home with you. And in many of our lives, we have friends and relatives that still need to know about you. Lord, I'm asking just now that you would give us words to say at the right time. And help us to live that right life that will reflect the life of Jesus to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, Father, we're thankful for you answering our prayer and accepting our commitment. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.